Film Sack will begin in just a few minutes. Please find your seat and keep your arms and legs in the vehicle at all times. Ladies and gentlemen, Film Sack starts now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack 2015 Nerdtacular Edition. We'll kick it off the way we always do, and we do it like this.
You're a good boy, Tommy. Grow up to be a good man.
This is Film Sack. Sure.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, where we mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me today, let's start with Randy this time. Randy, we always do. What am I saying? Right. Randy, those earrings sure look dangerous, Jordan.
Yes, they do. Yes. Aloha, Scott. Brian. Scott.
Brian
Brushwood. Other people in the audience named Scott. I'm sure there are. I'm sure half the men in the audience are named Brian. And aloha to our dearly departed Brian Dunaway, who art in heaven, which is also known as the Deep South of the United States of America, a title the South wrestled away from Utah, which was previously heaven on earth, but I have no idea where I'm going with this. So did I ever tell you about the time that I had a job applying yes. charcoal to the lower half of Dolph Lundgren's face? It was a punishing job.
Oh. Zing. Nicely done. Also with us, Brian. Hey, I think you might have missed one or two of those slot machines, Ibbot.
I did. In honor of Shake, as everyone knows, is the washed-up actor sidekick who inexplicably talks in prose. I'll deliver the thoughts which are wholly and truly mine on this fine film, Punisher 1989. The bad guys are laughable. Believability? Nope. In fact, the whole movie is one giant trope. For example, one thing thankfully missing from Punisher's newer Frank Castle hides his freaking motorcycle in the sewer. That's rides his freaking motorcycle in the sewer. His facial hair is ridiculous. His accent is thick. In fact, the character comes across like a big freaking loosely formed caricature of an underdeveloped idea. So as I end this, I'll happily and proudly exclaim, you can keep your Dolph Lundgren. Give me Thomas Jane.
Yeah. Woo. Dude, epic, dude. Holy crap. All right, Scott, work's cut out for you. We have with us Scott. He must break you now. He must shoot you, Fletcher.
Thanks. In honor of the missing Brian Dunaway, I thought I would recite a piece of prose in the style of Brian Dunaway. Ring, ring. Oh, hi. Good morning, Mr. Punisher. We hope you're enjoying your stay here at Snowbird Resort. How can we help you? Oh, yes, we can have someone send up a fresh set of knives. While we have you on the phone, we have received a couple of complaints about you riding your motorcycle underneath the hotel in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Well, yes, sir, of course we can hear it. It's a very large motorcycle right underneath the hotel. Also, when will you be returning the bus you borrowed? Barney Rubblestubble! Woo!
That was honestly a honest, true tribute to Brian Dunaway. That was amazing. Well
Rest
done.
Rest in peace, my brother.
Brian Dunaway is not here. He wasn't able to make it this year. He's been here most other years, but we're thinking about him. I think he's watching right now. We're hoping we get him on Skype later. We're going to try to bring him in here and chat a little bit. So we have kind of Todd on the case back there. So we'll let you know if that happens. But before we get to any of this stuff and we get to Fletcher's description of the film and all the usual stuff you do and our amazing clips from Punisher 1989, somebody on this table is having a birthday tomorrow. My wife needs to come up. Here she comes. Bring it on up here. I can give you a hint. It's the guy that looks a little like Bob Hope with a goatee. Brian Ibbot turns the ripe age of me tomorrow, right? I'm not going to tell him what it is. We got a little crown for you. We got a little custom cupcake thing.
You guys.
And I would like us, I know we did this for Jeff Cannata earlier, but can we all just one more time without license, yes?
Have you ever been in Furt Raid?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, so I think we all need to sing Happy Birthday to Brian.
Oh, my gosh.
At whatever tempo you feel like singing it.
Now, for those who aren't in our raid team, you can just sing Happy Birthday the way you know it. And the way that do we have to pay licensing fees for singing this
song?
No, it's, no.
All right.
It's under dispute right now with Warner, so it's totally free game right now. Mm-hmm.
But but anyone else who's in that raid and knows how we do it normally, and you know who you are, you can sing it that way, all right? So big and loud, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Happy birthday.
Keep it going. Happy to you.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Guys are awesome.
Please don't start a fire at Snowbird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
There's already a flood.
Are these okay, Corinne?
Yeah, they're
open
good.
Open flame?
Yeah, open flame. Don't have open flames.
All right.
Happy birthday and many more and all that. And you look like a kid at Burger King on a Saturday.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Back to the business at hand. And enjoy that. That's really good, by the way.
It is really good.
Yeah. We brought that. I mean, we actually transported that in ice in the car, kept it in the fridge all weekend.
Wow.
Yeah,
holy
we cow. Spared no expense. Yeah.
Everybody tasted it.
Yeah, where do you get a box of cake dough or cake batter that's just one cupcake?
It's a good question, but we're not allowed to tell you. We have to kill you. It's a Utah thing. All right. Before we get into the meat of the Punisher 1989 and any of our clips and stuff, we always like to have Scott Fletcher explain just a little bit more. Scott, take it away.
The Punisher. When Frank Castle's family is murdered by criminals, he wages war on crime as a vigilante assassin known as, known only as, The Punisher.
Only as. That's it. I like it.
Thank you. No, really.
So this is a movie by directed by Mark Goldblatt. It's an awesome name. Mm-hmm. Written by Boaz Yakin, also an awesome name. Stars Dolph Lundgren, Louis Gossett Jr., who won an Academy Award, I want to remind everybody, at one point. Didn't do a lot after that. It was before Iron Eagle. I don't even remember what the movie was, but he had his time, and then he got into some pretty crappy stuff like this. I like him a lot, so I'm glad he's in the movie. We'll get to all that in a minute. But what we do for those new to Film Sac is we take a film that we think is interesting or culturally impactful or maybe real stupid or dumb.
Or like in the case of this, we really genuinely wanted to see The Punisher, and we realized there were two that we wanted to see, and we could compare them. Mm-hmm. And then we went and
compared them.
We didn't realize how bad this was, basically.
Now, and you'll see a bunch of clips later that'll confirm a lot of what we tell you now, but I have to admit, I kind of had a good time. More fun than I expected. Mm. This isn't me saying it was good. Mm. It's not good. Mm. It's kind of bad. But I found myself enjoying the over-the-top, ridiculous 80s-style kind of action violence. I found myself liking deadpan lines from Dolph Lundgren. I liked it. I kind of had fun.
I just want you to know, Team DeLetcher over here.
Team DeLetcher butt.
Something like that.
Yeah. This was the most frustrating movie to watch.
But Scott and I actually, we both watched it twice. Mm. I didn't know. I didn't tell him that he needed to watch it twice to be on this team. Mm. But he watched it twice.
I watched it with him the second time.
I watched the whole thing twice, but I only made it through the first half the first time without just giving up hope.
Yeah.
I had to watch it a second time to catch up the second half and before I ran out of hope again. So I ran out of hope twice watching this movie.
Yeah, but at least you did it together. Running out of hope together is different, right?
Yeah.
Like watching movies together that are terrible, we always have a good time.
Well, the second time was just to cope and understand our loss.
Yeah.
Because it wanted to be such a great movie. There were great actors in it and there were great moments and the formula seemed to have worked. But there were just these elements that ripped your heart out every time it didn't work.
Like the movie. Like the movie itself. The element of the movie ripped
I guess
my heart
what
out.
I'm saying is I'm not about to say this is in the upper level of the things we've seen that were good. I will say this is probably in the back nine. Okay? It's not great. I guess I went in with so low expectations. And the only other Dolph Lundgren we've seen recently was Renegade?
Yeah, well, Universal Soldier for
Universal Soldier, that's right. And And those, that's, I mean, that has its own kind of fun, right?
We don't consider Rocky IV a Dolph Lundgren film, though. He's a prop, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he must break you, don't forget.
I kept wanting him to say that in this movie.
So,
the
stuff I was most interested here, though, after seeing the 2004 with you guys, was the Marvelness, either lack thereof or actual Marvel stuff that was used. And you'll note in this movie, if you watched it, no shirt logo, like no skull in the entire film.
No.
And they had the rights to do it, it turns out. They just didn't do it.
Yeah, and it's not like it would be goofy. I mean, basically, Frank Castle in the Marvel Universe has the most un-superhero outfit in the Marvel Universe. It's a T-shirt
right.
that you can buy now.
Well, and he also has an un-superhero demeanor.
Like, well, he's the anti-hero, for
sure. Right, the whole character is just a guy who actually kind of wants to die. He wouldn't mind if somebody just took him out.
Yeah.
Because he walks right into any spray of bullets or whatever.
Well, his power is super vengeance.
Well, okay, that's a power. No, seriously, that's a power. Mitt Romney has that power right now. but this is a guy who his power, like, it's a shotgun. I mean, it's not. This isn't a superpower by any stretch.
Right. Yeah, it's a power we kind of deplore in society these days when somebody goes on these sort of rampages. But it also had that flavor of, like, this is the 80s, and we don't yet know how horrible all this violence is yet. And there's something kind of quaint about it. It's hard for me to explain, but it's like watching Commando, or it's like watching most of Arnold's movies.
It's the over-the-top violence where if somebody gets, you know, a thrown knife in their shoulder, they fall backwards 6 feet.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I liked all that stuff. The ninja stars and stuff. Gee, I wonder what clips I may have captured.
It's interesting to bring up the Arnold Schwarzenegger films from the 80s, like all the way up through the mid-90s, because I kept hoping this film would go there. This film would establish a string of bad guys that you need to see taken out one at a time in various locations, and it didn't. And like, I don't want to skip too far ahead. This movie does not have a beginning. It actually, and it's not one of those that cuts right into the action. You know those movies where you're like, I don't know what's going on. This is so exciting. No. This movie just doesn't have a beginning. It's like they chopped off an explanation for itself.
Right. Well, the minute you see the guy come out of the courthouse, you think, oh, here's our bad guy.
Oh,
I feel great, just great. And you figure he'll survive through the whole movie. But bam, right out of the gate.
Yeah, that guy, I liked that guy because the stereotype was dripping off of him.
Absolutely,
he was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go get some pizza. I'm just getting out of court. How about Italian sauce?
I'm an Italian mobster. So there was a rumor floating around that the reason they didn't have the logo was because Marvel didn't let the filmmakers use it. And even though they had Stan Lee, Carl Potts, and Tom DeFalco working on it, I don't know why character creator
Jerry Conway
didn't get involved, but a friend of the program. But anyway, they were famous for not giving creators much credit back then, but
also you get the sense that there was an artistic decision made here, right? Like people associate with a comic book, and we're gonna make this film that people won't be thinking constantly, when's he gonna say, you know, it's time for some punishment or whatever.
Well, it's like we talked about in the comics panel yesterday. Chris Metzen made a really strong point about when crossovers were kind of bad. You were in that panel. Mm-hmm. And then when they started to get good again, or when filmmakers or creators started to get comfortable with saying, we're okay making a full Captain America suit. We'll modern it up in some ways, but you'll look at it and go, there's Captain America in his suit, not X-Men in their black ninja outfits, right? Mm-hmm. So this felt like them doing the X-Men, being cautious and going,
going so far as to put the traditional Punisher skull on his face in stubble.
Yeah, it kind of did. Right?
Would it just have looked like two skulls?
That was the goal.
Stubble that wasn't his, as a reminder.
Every single one of us referenced that in our greeting. And it's what really stands out. When I forget everything else about this film, I'm going to remember that charcoal makeup on his face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, like, every time I ever play Borderlands again and see Handsome Jack, I'm going to remember Dolph Lundgren in this movie. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, did that...
That whole, the angled... right.
Yeah, it was painted on.
It means that...
It was cosplay.
Dolph Lundgren has to shave all this and this and leave this.
It's bizarre.
It looked
bad. Absolutely bizarre.
But I kind of liked him. Who's that guy that plays a vampire in True Blood, the big tall guy, Eric? Who's that actor?
Skarsgård?
Skarsgård guy. To me, he is like a modern-day Dolph Lundgren. We need a big, giant, like... Scandinavian looking dude who can just tear you up with a gun.
Yeah.
Right?
Or
I missed Dolph Lundgren. I know he's still around, but he's all grizzled and stuff now. We need a new hero.
Hulk.
I don't need a new hero.
All right.
I really, this movie kind of ruined it for me. And I'm a big fan of Punisher. I have dozens of Punisher books in my collection. I think they're really good. I feel like this movie did not do justice to the comic background.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. But you don't think the Punisher would use a remote-controlled truck to lure a whiskey drunk into a back alley?
I'm going to bring this remote-controlled truck just in case.
Yeah.
That's not... Every murderer needs a hobby, and I'm sure his is RC-controlled airplanes.
That's that trope we talk about where... Thank you. Trope alert. Either the good guy or the bad guy, in some cases, has put a lot of effort into preparing something that is ultimately going to... You know, it's going to cause 5 seconds of mayhem or whatever. Yeah. But, like, Batman setting up the Batman signal in fire on a bridge?
Yes.
Like, you know, that's a classic. He must have spent days
right.
in the dark getting all the...
They're really going to get a load of this.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah. He could have... I mean, the Punisher guy could have just tied a rope to a bottle and
right.
just tossed it and pulled it slowly.
Right,
but
yeah.
no, he's all left, right, forward.
right. And don't you actually wish the movies would give you some of it, some of the preparation? Like he's
a montage.
He's back there. He's in some huge sewer learning how to drive it, you know, like forward and backward.
That's awesome.
I like that idea.
So New World, hold on, New World Pictures, they owned Marvel at the time. And they went bankrupt right about the time they were going to do a sequel. So they had a sequel planned. It was all planned out. You were going to get another Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie, and it didn't happen last minute. Now you got Marvel in dire straits. We're talking early 90s. Things are real ugly. Such a difference now. And we're about to get a new Punisher on that Daredevil show. People are fans of that show. People like that show. It was good, right?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Really excited to see how that turns out.
How do you think they're going to have to alter the character in today's society of...
I asked this question before Daredevil. Like, okay, what, you know, like the movie really toned Daredevil into a specific spot, the Ben Affleck movie. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, what are they going to do with this TV show? And then it's dark and there's sounds of breaking vegetables every time anyone throws something. Like, you know what I mean?
Love that. You always love that.
That was harmed in the making of Daredevil.
Oh my gosh. But Punisher is even a step further, right? Punisher, he's killing everybody. Like, and there's no one who deserves to live in Punisher's universe.
Well, he'll protect the innocent, but he will sacrifice collateral damage in favor of getting revenge. Mm-hmm. So how they treat that character on that show, a show that's proven itself to not be afraid to go a little hard, I'm really, really curious. And it's the dude from Breaking Bad who played...
The old guy with the bell.
With the earlobe. Shane. The deal with him though is both he and his two earlobes have SAG cards.
You said Breaking Bad. You meant Walking Dead.
Oh, did I say Breaking Bad? Yeah. I meant Walking Dead. Yeah, Shane.
Did you say Breaking Bad or just one?
Who knows, dude? Good. It's Saturday, right? What are we doing?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
All right. This Australians in the audience. Who's from Australia here? There's a few Australians. A couple of you out there. This movie
got the hat.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not a hat.
That's a hat. Yeah.
This is considered an Ozploitation movie because it was made by a bunch of Australians.
Hold the phone.
That is what IMDb says.
That cannot be a true word.
Ozploitation?
That you just made that up.
No, because they're... Okay, so there's a documentary on Netflix. I don't remember the name, but it's all about... and it's got everything from like George Miller with the like original Mad Max and stuff to all a bunch of other stuff. But there was like a period of time where Aussie movies were just like that crazy grindhouse kind of period stuff, right? He's nodding like crazy. I see that hat just wiggling.
All right.
So it's a term, right? Ozploitation. Okay.
How many of those movies featured Yahoo Serious?
Hey, he's a national treasure.
He is. He really is.
Crikey.
Oh, no.
He came after,
And Yahoo Serious is an American national treasure, I think.
Oh, I think he's global.
Okay, all right. He's a global treasure.
So wait, what is Paul Hogan considered in the Outback?
An embarrassment.
A Foster's pitchman.
That's amazing.
Ozploitation. I never once thought about Australia watching this movie.
I didn't either, except when I read that, and I just thought, well, that's very odd. But it also has that has kind of a grindhouse quality to it, you have to admit.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's like that, I don't know.
There's like lack of a plot that was
that's one.
Grindhouse quality.
You mean in the way that no engineers or people who understood physics were consulted
like
when they made the film?
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Like something John Woo would make, maybe. I have a trope. Check this out. I love any time there's an old derelict amusement park and they have a shootout in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that great?
And some of the rides are inexplicably still working and left on.
Yeah, and with like, no one in them. They're just running.
It's like the spinning the spinning wooden table, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I'll throw out a trope.
Okay, give me one. Here.
Anytime a bum is ejected from a bar, they are forcibly thrown from the bar. They have to it's not just to, you know, push you out the front door. It's
I like the idea that there's like four bouncers who are employed at every bar. They're just sitting on stools out at the front. That's their only job.
That's right.
It's like four guys, and we'd send them to you, and these four guys throw you.
Was that guy thrown out, the older professor turned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he an actual character in the books?
I don't ever remember seeing Shake. Anybody, any Punisher experts?
Aficionados in here?
Yeah.
Maybe no?
Yeah, I don't think Shake is a...
I kind of liked him.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the best thing in the movie.
He's the most intelligent drunk guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he kept
wanting him to be in a different movie.
Which is why you did your thing that way, isn't it?
Which is why I did my thing that way. And it's funny because in my notes, I actually wrote down, oh my God, at 29:29, he delivers four lines that rhyme. Before I actually looked at the trivia about the movie and said, oh, the character is supposed to be rhyming.
Yeah, he does it all the time. And then when he doesn't, I'm bugged.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, dude, you're out of character.
And he cheats one time. He says the same line twice.
Oh.
I don't think that counts.
And it takes you a little while to catch on. Like the first couple of times he rhymes, you're just like, oh, I wonder if that's just weird scripting.
Yeah.
And then the next time you realize, oh, this is his
deal.
He's
really doing
it. I mean,
it.
That's how good he is.
That's how good he is.
Yeah.
Because he ticks us this Hallmark card of a script. And he makes it sound like they're actual words that you think about.
I really wish I could say the things I want to say at this moment, but they don't rhyme. There's nothing that rhymes with
say,
Punisher.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to do a quick. I want to do a quick Dunaway check. Todd, any movement?
Okay. Dunaway Watch 2015.
Yeah. No, we're going to keep
we're
checking.
Hour two of Dunaway Watch.
All right. That brings us to a point in this. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to mention?
There was a trope that really stuck out to me.
I'll give you a thing for that. Wait, here's a trope that sticks out to you.
Muskrat.
There you go. Go for it.
The trope of the minuscule backstory. Mm-hmm. You know, these films where you're just expected to watch 5 seconds of his family getting blown up and whatever made him and then just rush right along. That really stuck out to me. It bugged
but do you prefer it though? Like Spider-Man telling us how he gets bit by a spider every time he does it? Like I think I already know.
Do we ever find out why his family is killed? It's just his family happens to get in a Subaru that blows up, right?
Yeah, and like the problem is we just watched a better Punisher movie, which had a tremendous explanation for his reason to be.
I'll give you that.
It was very entertaining to go to random Bahamas island and have all of that stuff happen to him. It was horrible, you know, like I kind of felt like this is how can you ever laugh?
Yeah.
But this movie, the 89 version, there's no jokes at all.
No.
So I was fine with that.
Well, how many of you in the audience are excited for Batman versus Superman to see one more depiction of Batman's parents being shot in the alleyway? At some point it's funny because it depends on the collective knowing, right? We know Peter Parker got bit by the spider. Mm-hmm. We know Batman witnessed this thing and it changed him.
It doesn't matter if you know exactly how Punisher became Punisher. When we only spend 5 seconds in the film showing you his family getting blown up, we've done something. Like, here's something for you to watch. Okay, let's go on.
Yeah,
you
know, it was a little herky-jerky for sure.
You know, you think about outside of the comic book realm with characters like Sherlock Holmes and Dracula who are reinvented constantly and reshown on... In new different movies, you don't get origin stories ever for those characters, right? You don't get the Sherlock Holmes origin story or the Dracula origin story. I guess you did a little bit in Gary Oldman.
We should get the Dracula as
was
a
bitten
surly...
by a radioactive bat.
You know, he's a surly teenager, right? And everything's going wrong, and then he finds immortality. You know, like that would actually
that would
be
actually,
that could be an interesting movie.
That would be good, actually.
It'd be all right. I'm curious how they'll handle it in the show. If they'll do a lot of backstory for him, or if it'll be piecemeal. One of the things I did like about the first season of Daredevil is, especially with the Kingpin, you got his backstory in really organic, interesting, slow mm-hmm. ways. He's so much more three-dimensional than he's ever been in any of the comics.
Yeah.
Because of how they did that. And that's their option, because they're making this long-form television series instead of a two-hour movie where you got to really hack that thing up.
And that's what I disliked the most about Daredevil, was mm-hmm. Daredevil's own backstory, the way it was shown in the first two episodes, because I just don't need to see kids getting maimed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if they're gonna go for it, they felt like they had to really go for it. And there's long, drawn-out sequence of what made him who he is. Mm-hmm. And it just... I don't know. I didn't find it entertaining at all.
He's like the only character in the Marvel Universe that was maimed as a kid, and that's where we went. You know what I'm saying? Who else is there?
Maimed as a kid?
There's only so many ways to make a superhero. And
true.
Maimed as a kid,
but I don't know too many. Like, a lot of them, as kids, discover their powers, or there's something that happens to them, but none of them are blinded.
I mean, some of their powers, you know, like mutant powers, manifested and maimed them, like Chamber or...
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. I mean, Cloak and Dagger had drugs.
Yeah. Criminals have sex.
Is there somebody, did somebody just shout somebody?
Arrow.
Arrow.
Oh.
Omero. Oh, yeah.
Omero.
Yeah, see? There we go.
Beast. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Beast.
I mean, generally speaking, superhero backstories are either interesting or horrible, mm-hmm. right? There's one or the other. Mm-hmm. And in any case... You've got to give me something if you're going to start down that path. Mm-hmm. Like you say, I don't need another Superman backstory at the beginning of a Superman movie. Mm-hmm. I don't even actually care. Like, seriously, like they could just jump right into him in the current whatever moment.
I don't know. I could never reference
his past.
I could watch an entire episode of Wonder Woman knowing where she came from.
Yeah. Mm.
Because of, I guess there are all these ladies on the island.
Oh, right,
I need an education on where she came from.
Right.
Okay.
Let me understand your culture.
Yeah.
let's go back.
Start it over and tell us again.
Speak for yourself on origin.
But they did that with, which was the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2, where just the opening credits give you the...
Oh, that was cool.
Previously on Spider-Man, but it was all cool comic book.
That was really cool, I thought that was good. And they could do that with a new Batman. In fact, you just said the way I like it. I like that, especially when we're talking about venerable long-term characters. Mm-hmm. Give me some backstory in a way. And they kind of punished it with the credits in this. I captured some of that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's not very good. All right, speaking of which, let's get to these clips. Quick Dunaway check. Nothing? No? Oh, that slacker. I have to get him.
He's practicing driving a remote control truck.
It's making its way across the U.S. to deliver. Yeah.
Just got to quickly open this up.
Sorry, phone call for you guys.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, look, he's on the phone.
What?
Hey, where aren't you?
Who is this?
Wait, why aren't you on Skype?
Who is this? What do you mean, why am I not on Skype?
It's Scott. You should get on Skype. You're live on the microphone.
Nice. Let me see. I've got a house full of kids, and they're all playing Minecraft.
All right. Well,
they're not even using a computer.
We can sort it. We can sort of hear you. We just miss you, dude. We wish you were here.
Oh my God, I miss you guys too. Let me see. I got my Surface Pro tablet here. Let's see if I got Skype on it.
All right. I'm gonna let Todd try to get you in, and then we'll bring you back in. How's that sound?
Hey. All right. Dunaway, before you go, listen to this. Hey, everybody, Brian Dunaway.
You hear that okay?
I did.
Oh, good.
That was awesome.
Are you got a little tear coming out?
Yes, I did.
Maybe a little pee.
Yeah, a little pee. All right, we'll try to Skype you in. We're gonna do clips, and then I want to pull you in at the end, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, brother. See ya. All right. Well, that wasn't so bad. There you go.
And before you actually play this clip, can I just point out, look at this specimen of a human being on this. He is amazing. He's like perfectly preserved in a solution of vodka and Doctari. Wow, what a great looking guy.
Yeah. I like Dolph Lundgren. I like him a lot. I kind of like him now in his Expendables motif.
I do too.
Just all grizzled and beefy, and just I think that he's a national treasure both for us and for the Swedes. Right? He's Swedish.
Andreas confirms.
All right, let's get to it. We got some clips for you here. First, I'm going to play a bit of the trailer, not the entire trailer, because part of it is part of the clips, and I want to save that for later. So I'll stop at a certain point. But here we go. Here's your trailer.
if society won't punish the guilty, he will.
You see this board here? Every time he kills somebody, I put a red pin in it. So far, the only thing that I've got to show for it, these little calling cards here, and a whole bunch of these.
Now let me. All right, we'll stop it there.
So after Punisher kills people with that huge gun,
yeah,
he has to walk around and find the bodies and put a little dagger in them.
Yeah.
He's got his daggers in a bag, a man purse, mm-hmm. right? And he pulls them out and puts them in each of the bodies. That's kind of gross.
It's a great old trope, though. It's the calling card trope. They
he
all
could actually
it.
Save Louis Gossett Jr. a lot of time and put a red pushpin in the bodies yeah. after.
Yeah.
Nicely done. All right, there's this opening montage at the beginning that I just thought was weird and creepy, and I'm just going to play it for you. So here you go. Yep. You get to see all the villains early. I think they were trying to be comic booky here.
No, I think that's after the dragon, isn't it? Stripes, yeah. Seven Nation Army.
Or even like Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
they had an
yeah.
opening for Buck
yeah,
Rogers. Right. Anyway, here is almost all the backstory you get, Randy. I captured what you're talking about.
You can see all 5 seconds.
Yeah, this is basically great. It. So this guy's going to tell you about it on the news.
Oh, trope of the fake news.
Yeah, trope of the fake news. So here you go.
After nearly 5 years of appeals, Dino Moretti, reputed lieutenant of the Franco crime family, was released from prison today and acquitted of all charges in connection with the murders of police officer Frank Castle and his family.
All right, I just want you to take a nice long look.
Wow.
In fact, you know what? Let me help you out a little bit. There you go. That is the best thing they've ever made Dolph Lundgren do.
It is. It really is. Can you go back to the reporter?
Yeah, I can.
Why is he lit by a light on only one side of him? It looks like they film in an apartment and they opened a window,
yep.
right?
It's the overly dramatic news.
It yeah, is.
That looks about right. So yeah, it's. I love that photo. I want to make. It's my backdrop on all my machines at home now. All right, here's the mobster. It's why I cut the trailer short. I just like this guy. He is dripping with stereotype mobster man stuff, and I really like him. So here he is.
Are you worried about the Punisher?
Now let me tell you something about this Punisher, whoever he is. If he ever shows up within 1,000 yards of me, he'll find out what the word punished really means. Now, if you'll excuse me.
I love that
I
guy.
I can't stop looking at the people in the background and watching their eyes.
Yeah.
They don't know what to look at.
I also like,
really
I like that he looks into the camera like it's this first person, like,
Punisher, I'm coming for you.
No one does
where
that.
Where our view is the news camera, and then it transitions back to the movie camera.
Yeah.
It was a little weird.
Yeah, it's like you don't go, hey, Janet Reno, what'd you think of Waco? Let me tell you. And it just doesn't do, nobody does that.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing. All right.
I like her feathered hair, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This next clip is what I call the foot takedown. Here you go. This poor guy. I want to pause this, but I won't. But the Room of Mirrors, that's a good one, isn't it?
Enter the Dragon, right?
Yeah. Is it Jack Polansky on one of those with Tango and Cash?
That is just amazing that his leg is like 7 feet long. Seriously.
Right. Yep. Where ceiling would have to be.
Where was his other leg?
Yep.
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme couldn't do that. Yeah, exactly.
What is he doing?
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
It's not possible. It's also not possible for that guy to position himself perfectly right below him.
His crotch would actually have to be on the bottom of the ceiling, and then how do you pull yourself back up from that quickly?
Yeah, for those of you listening at home, Scott Fletcher is trying to make his leg 7 feet long.
We have all the proof we need. Wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
So frustrating.
I do not know what this next one is, so we'll just play it. That's probably on a bingo card somewhere. Here you go.
Come on, God.
Oh, yeah.
Answer me. For years I'm asking you why. Why are the innocent dead and the guilty alive? Where is justice? Where is punishment? Or have you already answered? Have you already said to the world, here
Punisher
is
butt.
Justice, here is punishment,
oh my
here
God.
Okay.
In me.
So they use that shot twice.
Yeah, they showed his bum twice.
At the end of the film.
Yeah.
So if the first time around you didn't see his nuts dangling down, you're going to get another crack at it later, if you know what I mean.
Another crack at it. Well done. Yeah.
The naked and Lundgren.
Yeah.
It's what I order off the secret menu at Qdoba.
I'm actually not convinced that was his nutsack.
I'm not sure I saw any of that. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't notice it.
Because it's there.
Is it?
It's hanging down. It's well lit. It's
oh,
all
my God.
Show of hands.
I'm not going back.
Again?
Yeah. I'm not going back.
It's only four That's, people.
There's a lot of people begging you to not show that again. So let's just, yeah.
I cannot believe you noticed that. I had no idea.
How could you not notice it?
I didn't notice it. I wasn't looking for it. I was like, he's sitting there. I got that he's sitting there naked. It's Dolph Lundgren's bum. I got that.
I love you, Scott, and you are never looking for the nutsack.
I never look for it. We call that man wiener where I'm from.
That's all right.
All right.
It's there. Go. Go see it for yourself. Yeah, this is Film Sack, for Pete's sake. We got
next up, what is Martinet? Hold on, we got to see here. I don't know what this one is, so I'm just going to play it. Here you go. That's somebody leaning down, I think. Oh, yeah, no, this is the slow look up to the Punisher.
Okay.
I love these. Here you go. I saw it then.
Hi there.
Has anyone ever in real life done that to anybody? Where you have your field of vision is this little cone, and the only way to take it all in is to slowly raise up. I hate
like
that.
20 seconds of like.
Yeah.
Yeah, slowly.
No, you just go there.
If your doctor did that to you, like you go in for a physical, and this is how your doctor examined you, you would be creeped out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, why not? All right. This is something with a walkie-talkie, this next one. I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah, I love these guys.
I can't get this friggin' thing to work. Very difficult. You. Wait! There's $500 million out there. Cool out!
Angry henchman.
That, if the whole movie had been like that, I would have loved loved this movie so much.
Now,
it does make them disposable, right? I mean, it's just stereotype. Yes. You know they're going to die.
Oh, you knew all three of those guys. Their time was limited.
Yeah.
You just didn't know what order.
Uh-huh.
Turns out I have the first one here, so I'm going to show you this. Now, Nerdtacular has a bunch of kids. This isn't anything horribly gory or anything, but there's a couple of silly deaths coming up, so I'm just letting you know if you want to cover your kid's eyes or anything, or Terpster, he's in here somewhere. So here you go. This is, I think, the first major mobster death. Look at that guy's sweet shirt, by the way. Here we go.
What?
Everything's okay?
Yeah.
So
T-1000.
Yeah, T-1000. Sure, why not? I like this one a lot. This is another one right after it. There's that guy again.
Red 2, what have you got?
Bad kidneys. I gotta pee.
So, P, everything's okay?
Yeah. It's dead here.
I like a good mid-P murder.
Oh, what was that?
That was very exciting.
Wow.
Well, we lost a light.
Get down!
we lost a light. Several of us lost the contents of our bladder.
I like a good mid-P light crash.
Yeah. I haven't seen Scott Fletcher flinch like that before. Yeah.
A flinch? No, that's being ready.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, he's
You didn't get showered with that stuff, did you?
No,
all right over there?
So.
Okay. We'll check it out. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay. Wasn't this
everything's
one?
Fine. Everything's right. We remain seated.
All right. I'm pretty sure this next one are ninjas, and they're spiky ninja ball weapons. All right? It's the best thing ever. Here you go.
Okay. Give us a trope alert.
I can't. The way this works, I can't.
For the millionth time, how do you deploy that weapon? Are you like, do you have like a fake hand or something that you hold it in? I don't understand.
Where do you keep them? They stick out of whatever pocket you got.
I don't know. So bizarre.
Yeah, pretty bad. All right, here is, this is a thistle, I think it is. Oh, yeah. So if you ever need a, if you ever need to slide down on a rope you make yourself, make sure you use a dude at the anchor at the bottom, all right? So here you go. All right, they're all stormtroopers, obviously. They can't hit anything. I just love the idea that somehow that thing was more stable if you put it through the guy.
Yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren, who weighs like 300 pounds and is 6'9" or whatever, is going to just slide right down.
There was a lot of people getting tacked to things.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the knife and sort of thing.
It's a tribute to Louis Gossett's bulletin board.
Yeah.
Louis Gossett Jr.'s bulletin board.
That's right. So I have two thoughts. I've watched this twice, and I didn't notice how many times they did a beauty shot of the weapon or the thing flying through the air, and it always looked terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing, practically, on the day that they shot it, there's a guy who was hired as an actor to be stuck to the side of the van.
Right.
And I don't know, are they like the people who get hired for CSI to be cadavers? It's a long day. Yeah. That poor guy had to stand there for like 8 hours with the thing poking out of his stomach.
Yeah, no, it's, it's a living, right?
I have a little bit of pity.
I understand. Mm-hmm. All right, next one is one of my favorite. I guess it was a murder. I don't know. But in the story, they start going after mobsters' kids, which was a weird thing because you feel bad for kids, but you don't like the mobsters. But you kind of don't care. I don't know, it's weird. I didn't like this part. But anyway, I like this particular moment in the movie.
No.
Hi, I'm Peter Bear. I really care. And to show you it's true, I have some things to teach to you.
Like what, Peter?
So we freeze frame on the children reacting to their huge bear getting shot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I just thought it was an odd. First of all, it caught me as odd because I think those kids were too old to buy that bear was talking to them. Yeah, and that's for like 3-year-olds or something.
That's a knockoff Teddy Ruxpin right there.
I guess so. Yeah. Anyway, I like that one a lot. All right, here is some rhyming and a motorcycle scene. So here you go.
Pay they will, and all for naught. The children will be sold by the slave trade they will be bought. My God, Nando, to see. This is a result of your 5-year killing spree. You weakened the fathers to such degrees they couldn't protect their own families.
I punish the guilty.
Yeah, so there's some of that rhyming. It's so weird.
It's Dr. Seuss's, oh, the places the Punisher will go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And there's just a point where he's revving that motorcycle over and over where you want the other guy to just say, cut it out.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking to you.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm talking
to say,
to you.
I can't hear you.
Blah, blah, rhyme.
Punisher, seriously, Punisher is 9 years old at many times in this movie. Is,
yeah. All right, I'm a big...
Again, I can't stress enough how loud this motorcycle is in this sewer. Someone has to hear this guy.
Yeah.
I can fart in an empty gym and they can hear it a town away, but he's driving a motorcycle right underneath the street.
The most well-lit sewer ever, too. I mean, lights every 3 feet.
Yeah.
There's a guy whose job for the city is to keep that place lit.
Right.
There's a guy walking out every day replacing a light bulb in the sewer. What am I doing? This is the...
Well, motorcycle tracks? Well, that's odd. All right.
Is that a naked guy down there?
Yeah.
I can see his scrotum.
Look at the scrotum on that guy.
All right. I love a good bad actor kid fight. I'm a big fan in movies when the kids aren't great. They're not Dakota Fanning. There's something, you know, that they're not great at this, right? Serial commercials, maybe, but this isn't the career for them. Got a great kid fight with a bunch of bad actors. Here you go.
Hey, come on. Don't cry. We're going to be okay.
We're not going to be okay. It's because of my father. I'm here.
It's not true.
Then why are we here, Mr. Know-It-All?
I don't know.
I do. We're bringing hell for ransom because our fathers are rich gangsters.
Then why am I here? My father's not a gangster.
What, are you kidding? Your father's the biggest gangster and a coward. My dad said if he didn't run from his responsibilities, there wouldn't be this mess.
You're
hit him!
Don't fight, kids. Don't fight.
Everyone else thought Slytherins and Gryffindors, right? I mean, all four houses were in that group of kids.
Yeah.
It's a hard knock life.
Yeah, that too. That
also,
too.
I don't think any, when you're a mobster's kid, do you know that your dad's a gangster? I don't think you're supposed to know, right? Well,
and no, but all the other kids know.
Well, yeah, and you want a whole movie on just this. Yeah. Like, pull this out. Make me a movie about a bunch of kids who are all locked up together and they're all finding out that their parents are doing weird stuff.
Do you guys remember that Bugsy Malone movie with all the kids in it? Like, Michael Jackson was in it and, like, Scott Baio when he was, like, 10 or something? You get, it's so good. They shoot each other with machine guns full of whipped cream, and they fight with pies like grenades. It's
Hold on.
Amazing.
You started saying, it's so good, and then...
No, it's good.
And
it's
then
good.
You said...
It's really good. Genuinely good. I recommend it. I like that movie. All right. I don't know what this one is. Let's see. Oh. Threatening the Yakuza. Here we go.
Every day the children of God is going to cost you money. Take that message to your people.
Yeah. It's pretty bad, eh, man?
New York's hottest gangster hideout is Crunch.
Yeah.
It's got everything. An old 1920s Wheel of Fortune, naked silhouetted dancers, bullet-ridden slot machines, a taffy puller, and Saturn's Beefcake.
Well, what's Saturn's Beefcake?
It's the thing where there's a lady bodybuilder in a pink thong swinging a hula hoop to Bad Buster Poindexter covers. Oh. It's the greatest thing.
That's why you wanted that scene.
That's why I wanted that scene.
I like
that
it.
Scene.
All right, what do we got here? Let's see. This is at the Funhouse. Old Ninja Chain versus Motorcycle Trick. Here you go. Pretty good.
Oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He just walked that off.
That was pretty good. I mean, that stunt was pretty good.
Yeah. Very good practical effect, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the moments that you wish, that extracted hope from me as I was watching it, because if all the whole movie was that good.
Then it would have been fun.
Would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave a lot of weight.
I can't even get the words out.
Yeah.
I'm reliving it.
You know what? Our third viewing together though, we're gonna have a really good time.
Okay.
We're gonna watch this thing, we're gonna get some pizza. Okay.
Thanks.
We're gonna snuggle.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's gonna be good.
Okay.
Look, if you're gonna have an ambush in a restaurant, hire old ladies to help. This clip explains how.
What?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
They're really good shooters too. They did not hit the people they intended to miss. This is the inverse of the rest of the movie.
Yep. Right. Why aren't they working on the dots?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of jewelry as weapons, so we get to see some of that right here with this lady.
Okay, you were talking about physics.
Yeah.
I've worked it out. Yeah. I worked it out. For starters, she's the strongest woman in the world. Secondly, those were made of some kind of galactic iridium or something, and each of them weighs 150 pounds. Seriously, that's the only explanation for what the heck just happened on the screen.
Otherwise, it's like getting hit with paper clips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
It doesn't matter how sharp the paper clip is. No. It really doesn't.
It will never...
Not much
arms.
To it. Yeah. All right, here's a good bus scene or a good bus stunt. Here you go.
Behind the yellow line.
I like the idea that he wanted to get in the bus. That was great.
Yes. Right.
Like, that was a great trick. All right, here's Louis Gossett Jr. doing what he does best.
Hey, man, I got the pizza.
Simply put, the best thing in the movie.
Best scene.
I'm so glad best we watched scene. This movie because yeah. of that.
Yeah. Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr., everybody.
Yeah. I love that. All right. We have a couple more here. This one is Love the Elevator Guy. Here you go.
How long is it going to take to get an elevator?
It's hard to say. Elevator is a very temperamental thing.
So a cop's don't like being jerked around. Now, how long?
10 minutes.
How long? Hey, how long?
5 minutes.
If you just keep asking him, yeah. it'll eventually be 5 seconds.
It'll keep
right?
going lower. It's the whole. It's the Scotty trope. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. All right. This is it's very end of the movie. Some drama on the roof. Love this scene. Here you go. More Louis Gossett. Gee, I can't understand. I can't understand how people wouldn't hear him up on a building in L.A. with the entire city out in front of him.
I love you so much, Frank. Yeah.
So dumb.
Be right there.
All right. Those are your clips. Before we go any further, I hear Dunaway's on the line. All right, let's bring him in. Can we hear him? Brian Dunaway, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. You're the voice.
Caller, are you there?
Am I coming in too loud?
No, you're totally fine. You're totally fine. Did you watch this Punisher movie?
Hell no. I didn't have to put up with this crap this week, you suckas.
Yeah. We really miss having you here, but it's nice to have you on the line. Tell us what you're doing with your day.
Oh, well, I just knocked the kids off my computer from playing Minecraft so that I could sit in the Skype and talk to you guys. I miss you guys so much, and I'm super happy Scott Fletcher was able to sit in for me.
Well, he's doing a fine job. He had a light bulb explode near him, but he's fine. Everything's fine.
I heard that.
Yeah. Did you hear it?
I did hear that. And Scott, yeah. Come on, Scott. Can you answer me? For years, I'm asking why. Why are the good movies not streaming and the crappy ones are back-to-back on Netflix?
Yeah.
Where's the justice?
It's a good
Where's
question.
Where's the punishment? Yeah. Oh, it's right here on FilmSack, isn't it?
Yeah, good call. Well, we miss you. We hope you're having a decent time, and I'm real glad that you're able to pop in with us and hang out, and I know everybody here is. So thanks a lot, man. Have the best weekend ever, and we'll talk to you soon. Everybody give Brian one more round of applause.
Yay, you guys.
We'll see you later, buddy.
See you guys. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're gonna round things up, and then we're going to do some Q&A, all right? Because we did that last year. It turned out great. One of our favorites. What time is it?
10:54.
Good. That gives us a good half hour or a little bit more to get some good audience questions. So, no Star Trek connections that I know of. Daryl, are you here to confirm that or deny it?
Oh, come on. We talked about this. I made Star Trek connections.
Yeah, but yours are all weird connections, like somebody knew a guy who Kevin Bacon worked with
right,
once.
Exactly.
It was funny. Yeah,
all right. Yeah. No, give go it for it. Let's us. Do it. Give it to
I,
us.
Give me a second. You even told me, bring that with you. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll bring this stupid thing with me. Yeah, do something else.
All right, I'm going to do this now then. Well, no, that's not good. It's our Twitter post. You don't want me to do that yet.
No, all right.
Keep looking,
keep going. Here we go. It's the Punisher Star Trek Connection John Woo edition.
Mm.
That's right. Dolph Lundgren was in Blackjack, a John Woo movie, which also starred Fred Williamson, who was in the original Star Trek series episode, The Cloudminders, in 1969. Brendan Gleeson was an uncredited prison guard in The Punisher.
Oh, first role, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He and Christian Mannon, who played French Leader in The Punisher, that's right, that was a character, French Leader, in this movie, they were also in John Woo's Mission Impossible 2, which was written and produced by Star Trek's Brandon Braga and Ronald D. Moore.
Oh.
And finally, Louis Gossett Jr. was in All In with Dominique Swain, who was in John Woo's Face Off with Harve Presnell, who played Colonel Q in the Voyager episode The Q and the Gray.
Whoa. Nailed it.
That's a Star Trek connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
By your logic, I'm having lunch with President Obama on Monday.
Correct.
Because I know a guy who knew a dude who knew a lady. Yeah, right. It's all good now.
You now host WTF with Mark Maron.
All right. I'm in. all right. Well, let's do our Twitter post. This is where we sum things up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is going to go over 140 characters because I'm ad-libbing here.
All right.
The Punisher. He didn't wear the shirt. He didn't wear the shirt? Are you kidding? Look, Dolph Lundgren, wear the shirt. You some kind of pansy? Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? I'll have my friend Joey Image fight you. He'll wear the shirt.
He will wear the shirt. Joey Image Pro.
Eileen is wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
She'll fight you, Dolph.
All right. Next up, Brian Ibbett.
The Punisher. Mine's a lot shorter. Okay. The Punisher. That Lady Tanaka's got a nice rack.
Very well
the
done.
The torture device.
Watch the movie. Torture rack. Punisher, 1989. Catch it.
And I'm sorry, we never did figure out where the red high heels came from.
No.
That
he's wearing on the yeah.
Okay. They were the chick in the bucket in this movie. Yeah, nobody knew. Let's finish it out with Scott Fletcher.
Mine is shorter. Mm. The Punisher. Captain Jack Sparrow meets Lurch.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
Totally.
That, really, yeah. And that explains why he's all naked and oiled up at his little prayer temple.
That's right.
It totally does.
So we are going to do what we did last year, which we did for the first time last year, and I'm really glad we did. We ran around with mics, and it turns out some of our best audience content happened in FilmSack. Yeah. So we're hoping you guys belly up to the bar again this time. Any questions at all, raise a hand. We'll send somebody around with the mic. Actually, I guess I haven't assigned somebody to do that. Any volunteers anywhere that want to be mic person?
We don't know. Now we don't know if you're raising your hand to be a volunteer.
We'll take, you want to do it?
Who right. can move like a gazelle?
While, you need a wireless. Oh, there we go. While he's doing that, is Ashley in the audience here? Stand up.
It's on. Yeah.
Ashley sat through the movie the second time with Scott Fletcher and I and helped come up with a lot of the stuff that you heard us talking about.
Very nice.
So there's your writing credit. Thanks for your
That's
help
right.
with that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ashley.
We didn't even get to do our Star Wars thing.
Oh, we didn't. We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't have the appropriate clip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a Star Wars thing?
So there's a scene where Lady Tanaka is talking with one of her henchmen, and, you know, he's saying, oh, no, brute force is the way to go. And she's like, no, you know, the mystic ways of the martial arts. And it reminded Scott and I of another scene.
Right. Mm-hmm. From a very famous science fiction movie. You might have. So...
You begin.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to get a little theater here?
Hell yeah.
Sorry. Oh, everyone just
we
relax.
We don't write crap and not use it, Scott.
Okay, all right.
I feel like I'm in the center of something truly great right now.
Don't really be exciting. Too proud of this criminal organization that you've constructed. The ability to bring in 600 keys of junk is insignificant to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lady Tanaka. Your sad devotion to that ancient Chinese secret has not helped you conjure up the kidnapped children or given you enough clairvoyance to find the Punisher's hidden fort. Sandwich. Hold on. That hurts.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Thank you.
Wow. On that note, let's take a question from someone in the audience.
Beat that.
Yeah, love the show, first of all.
What's your name, first of all?
James McGinnis.
Ah, nice to see you.
I love the show, but I have no idea what I'm watching right now.
One of your most controversial shows or movies, as far as fan reception goes, is Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
Do you guys have any intention of, first of all, what are you excited for the series?
You haven't been listening to FilmSack recently. We've talked about this.
A little bit, yeah. That's a really good question, because you're right. It was one of those ones that was controversial, because that movie's, I guess, pretty beloved, and also by a very specific demographic, certain age group, who saw it maybe in their early 20s and thought it was the funniest, best comedy ever made of all time. And all of us are kind of, you know, Caddyshack and... I can't think of any other classics.
And for none of us was it that thing. For like
not
we were
that
all sort of
right.
watching it for the first time in 2014.
Kind of meatball, like it's an updated Meatballs for the next generation.
And that's kind of what I was hoping for when we saw it. Now, when we came away from it, I think we were kind of unanimous that none of us could understand why it had the following that it has. Randy has recently started to make a turn on that, which we've been trying to figure out.
It keeps streaming. I have to keep watching it, right?
Yeah. And with that series coming, now I find myself genuinely interested because here are all these people pretending to be a prequel 15 years after they made the first one, but not, but being very blatant about the fact that they know they're all in their like late 40s now. It kind of looks like it's something I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, honestly, and I like the trailer better, the trailer for the Netflix series better than I liked the original movie. Do I have stuff on my beard?
But it's just confetti. It's fine.
So we, perhaps very foolishly, we agreed while recording an episode of FilmSack recently that this may be our next episode of FilmSack. We, in the next 2 weeks, we may sit and binge watch all 8 episodes and then sack the new Wet Hot American Summer in a couple weeks, which is...
It'd be fun,
right? So I guess
one person really likes that idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We'll do it.
Actually, show of hands, though. Wet Hot American Summer fans, let's see. First, the people who liked the movie and the people who watched it and didn't like it. Okay, it's about...
And there's a lot who haven't seen it.
A lot who haven't seen it, but of the people who've seen it, I'd say pretty close to a 50-50 split.
We've never, maybe. I mean, even if it was a loud minority that were angry with us, we've never gotten raked over the coals like that before. Mm-hmm. They were so mad.
Yeah, right.
And we're sure that we were wrong. I mean, the comments for that were just vitriolic. I mean, everybody was just trying to have a conversation, but it was the most up in the air anyone's gotten about anything
we've
seen.
No, you usually don't get angry responses to hold on, just got a Twitter.
Oh yeah, there's another one.
At @D_Lundgren, FU.
Great.
All right, yeah. All right, we got another one. Great question.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Back to the Punisher. Apropos of the oiled up prayer temple naked bum scene. 3 words: trope, vocal fry.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting thing lately. I've been hearing so much about it, and I guess there's like a sort of a big uproar. Some people are looking at it very scientifically and saying vocal fry and upspeak, which we talked a bunch on the show about, are people changing the way they vocally say things and are looking at it from a very scientific point of view, like how we culturally change the way we talk in different decades, we talk in different ways. And then there's a huge bunch of people who use it as a way to put people down, to use it as a way to say your voice is terrible, and specifically a bunch of female reporters on NPR are targeted by people, whereas men with clearly the same problem are not being targeted,
right?
If you want to even call it a problem. And that has been fascinating, because when we brought that up in the news, I just, this is this thing I heard about, and we let it go.
Yeah.
But since then, it's like this thing you keep hearing about. It's crazy.
Snowball, yeah.
Yeah. Sly Stallone, yeah.
Right.
Well, that guy's got his own kind of talk, doesn't he?
I must break him.
That's pretty good.
But that doesn't even touch on the language itself evolving, you know?
Yeah.
We will look back on this time 20 years from now, and we'll be like, wow, they said literally every other word.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, right. And it's the way we look back at, you know, Moon Zappa and Valley Girl and, you know, the that kind of speak. Yeah.
She doesn't talk like that at all now. I heard her recently.
Well, did she talk like that then?
I think it was just an act.
Yeah,
it was
an act. Yeah, it's just...
Oh, yep. We're old, dude. Yeah. I just realized how old
How can anyone grow up in Frank Zappa's house and do anything unusual?
Right.
Right?
Well, thankfully, we have Nicki Minaj crystallizing this moment
yes.
of time for historians
yes.
to look
right.
back on.
We had Jaden Smith crystallizing it for us, and then he went and took it all away.
Oh, he's not done yet.
He's got a long way to go.
His Twitter account is a magnificent thing.
It's gone, and I'm so glad it was preserved by other, you know, third parties, because it's so valuable.
By the internet. Hi.
Hi, my name is Molly.
Hi, Molly.
And I was wondering if you guys were going to ever try and get some classical movies, like, you know, Wizard of Oz, from the 30s to the 60s.
Classical in terms of good classical or just older movies?
We kind of dipped our toe in that with the Producers not long ago.
Mm-hmm. 20,000 Leagues Under, what was the Beast from 50,000
Fathoms? And
Something Fathoms.
But you make a good point about, so when we've done that, we've usually gone like Plan 9 from Outer Space or something old but also known to be schlocky.
I'm thinking
it'd be interesting to do something like, actually, Wizard of Oz could be very interesting.
Ooh. It would be,
I just heard someone say Sound of Music, but like something John Wayne-ish.
Oh, yeah.
We watched a John Wayne film about 6 months ago.
What was it?
Yeah.
Did we? Or did we? Is that the one I told you I didn't want to do?
No, that was Hatari.
Hatari.
But we watched the
True Grit.
True Grit. That's right.
And that's our problem is what like our definition of classical film is kind of skewed.
There's an impression, and even part of it's my fault for naming the thing Film Sack in the first place. This name Sack makes it sound like every time our goal is to take something terrible and talk about it. But as we've proven in the past, things like Breakfast Club and more modern or more recent
Wrath of Khan,
sure. They're movies we love, like movies we'll watch multiple times. In my case, we still haven't done Waterworld for the show.
Yeah.
Wow. Have
we?
Feels like we have.
Have we done Waterworld for the show?
Because that's how you have the paper.
But I watch it every year, so I forget
what
I've done.
That's how you have
the
paper clip.
Paper clip. Paper clip. I mean, I love Waterworld. They don't so much, But so we're not opposed to doing that. The real thing for us is just we want to have a bunch of interesting stuff around it. Yeah. If it's bad, interesting things around it. If it's good, interesting things around it, stuff we can really riff on. So we're not opposed to anything, really.
I just have a hard time. Oh, those munchkins really don't hold up.
Yeah, they just don't. Terrible graphics.
We will never watch Casablanca together.
Probably not.
But like a movie like Hatari, I could see us watching it together because it's full of like silly stuff that you can... You know, riff
you
on.
You really want us to watch
No, I don't, actually. Now that we've gotten this far, I don't think we should ever... Hatari should be the movie we refuse to ever watch.
Yeah, it's the lost episode, because I have clips and everything. We just never did it.
You have clips?
Oh, yeah.
From Hatari?
From Hatari, yeah. That's how far we got before I gave up on that three-hour nightmare.
And that's not even the first movie that we bailed on, because it was...
Oh, no, we bailed on a lot of movies.
Robin and Marion, remember that?
Yeah.
And that seemed to have all the things you want. Sean Connery as Robin Hood.
Yep. Timothy Dalton? No, who was
that?
It?
Anyway, it was this story we thought, Robin Hood, this weird love story take, and Dunaway watched like 10 minutes and called us all and says, don't watch it.
Yeah.
So that happens, you know.
Sub in,
and we
sub
do
in.
Have this rule where one of us can veto. We can, and we don't do it very often, but when we do, we all honor it. And
so I think the definition of a good movie, like a great movie that we would all watch is something that is exciting, you know? So like we might watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it can't be something that is, you know, like an Oscar winner for drama, you know, that has no excitement.
You can do like Shawshank or...
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like
we could do Shawshank. I'm just... To be able to repeat some of those lines and have some fun with it, maybe.
Yeah, we'd all be
maybe.
Talking.
All right, dude. We're not doing Hatari, though. I know that.
All right,
Next person.
Hey guys, I'm Brandon, and I have a question on behalf of my friends and yours, JJ and Renee Valentine.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
they want to know, when the heck is Friday happening?
Oh. When is Friday?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yesterday.
This is a movie this week that we couldn't get streaming, and we really wanted to watch it, so we just went without it streaming. But if Friday will ever come to Netflix, like, it's on our list, the top of our list, that we'll advance it and watch it for sure.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I've come to the conclusion that it would be good
and
for me.
And that scares me, and maybe we don't want to watch Friday. If Scott's never seen it.
I love Ice Cube. I love all those other guys. Who's has the new comedy special, and I always forget his name.
Chris Tucker.
I like Chris Tucker in everything but Fifth Element. He is annoying in that.
Super Green.
He was supposed to be annoying in that. Yeah.
He's good in Jackie Brown. He's great. I like that guy. Yeah. So I'm into that. I'll do it.
Can't you understand the words coming out of his mouth?
Yeah, I guess you can. Sorry, you said that too slow and understandably. Yeah.
Pardon me, can you...
Good question, though.
Are you able to comprehend the words?
Hey, guys. Just a couple of things I want to call out. Firstly, relating to True Grit, I actually came to Nerdtacula through Ouray, Colorado, where they filmed the courthouse scene.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful place.
Yeah.
And secondly, Shake, the poet, noted Australian thespian, Barry Otto. And that's the tie back to Australia.
Oh, yeah. I want to go back to your experience driving up the Million Dollar Highway. Do you feel like you're still stuck behind an RV on that thing?
No, managed to avoid that, but I'm still...
A little shaky.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm still up above 5,000 feet. haven't been below 5,000 feet since Monday, and... Oh, that road was just...
That road.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah. It's like nothing else in the States.
It's beautiful, but man,
And then coming from there to Moab, by the time we hit Arches National Park, we'd achieved scenery overload.
Yeah.
We were
just
looking, going, wow.
Oh,
wow.
There's
another vista.
Thing.
Yeah.
Back
and
to
then
Candy
we come
Crush.
Up to Snowbird. My God.
That's awesome.
Questions?
Thank you for coming so far, dude. Yeah. Every time somebody comes from Australia or somewhere, it's like... I mean, we've got people from Germany, from Australia, from New Zealand, Sweden, France. Well, at least one. The UK, a bunch from the UK. It's just great. You always make me feel happy and guilty at the same time.
Weirdos
anyway,
from California.
Uh-huh. Yeah, California. Jeez, the OC. Oh, can you imagine? Anyway.
Hi, my name's Lindsay.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. I actually haven't heard too much about FilmSec. I've listened to a couple of episodes, so I'm not sure if you guys have already done it or not, or if this was a while ago, but I have a request.
Okay.
I would love to hear more about Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's probably one of my favorite movies, and I would love for you guys to do a bunch of quotes.
Oh, yeah. No, I think all of us probably in unison could say that we grew up on that. Like, right. Holy Grail was part of our childhood in a way that almost nothing else was. And so, not only that, this fit what we were just all talking about, criteria. This fits the criteria in a really special way because we have that connection to it. And then there's so much to say about what happened after Monty Python, what they did to change comedy and film and ideas about comedy and where they are today. And the
movie that I've long wanted to watch with you guys and not talk about in front of a live audience is Life of Brian. Mm. I just would love to watch that movie with you guys.
I'd watch that. I love that
and
movie.
And then prepare very carefully for an episode of FilmSec.
Because we found that movies that are comedic or parodies that are funny are very difficult to sack.
Yeah. But this is different, right? Because it's got the cultural impact. It's got the
But
all the extra stuff.
That opens up a whole extra challenge of, as Randy was
We probably won't
that.
Do Meaning of Life, because that's just weird.
It's a series of vignettes that gets all over the place, and you could pull clips from the whole movie. Like every little part of it is.
My daughter Carter loves the fishy fish part.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's always loved that. Won't let her watch the rest of it. Well, she's 18
it's
now.
Weather thin. It's a weather thin mint.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the bar that's still. Still haunts me, that scene. Yeah. Really took me, bowled me over when I was a kid.
As a fan of FilmSec, once a week I spend about 90 seconds recording a thing that I then email and forget about for the rest of my life to Scott. But as a fan, what I appreciate is the revisiting the nostalgia trip of movies that wouldn't otherwise get studied by scholars like Monty Python. Those movies have been really gone over with a fine-tooth comb. What I appreciate is someone... bringing up the topic of RoboCop again, so I can relive that part of my life.
Sure. And we had a lot to talk about.
Well, and there's a new RoboCop we haven't sacked yet.
It's on the list.
We're gonna. Yeah. It's on our list.
I've waited to see the new one for us to do it. So.
Same. But just I just want to follow on that request. Could we have cheesy announcer voice say the phrase, every sperm is sacred?
Every sperm is sacred.
Very nice.
That's one of these days. One of these days.
That's pretty good. Who we got next?
Hi, I'm Jules Scott.
Hi, Jules.
Hi.
We love Jules.
Okay, I have a formal request to make for you for Nerdtacular 2016.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Pixels. No. You know you want to.
Yeah, actually, I think that would, just on the outside, or just on the from the outside, not seeing it, I think that actually would make a good
I don't know. I think the scholars will also go over that with a fine-tooth comb.
I get the feeling that it would probably be good for us because not because it's bad or good or any of the things, but because it has caused
Video
such
game,
a stir with
content.
Our people, you know?
Right.
Like we as gamers are upset or we're
Who are you
concerned.
Calling our people?
But it seems like something that we would enjoy and that everybody could get
a
good conversation
curious,
about.
Has anyone here watched Pixels? Like went to the theater and like, okay, so three people out of 300? Like my thing always with movies like that, and I always say this to you guys, is do we want to make the audience go watch this film? Like even if it's streaming on Netflix, and I highly doubt it ever will, but...
Oh, I'm sure it will. I think they made them
watch Troll 2.
Sandler is in deep with Netflix now. They're paying for his next three features or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's right. That big deal, Inc. So my bet is that will be on Netflix sooner than later, and we'll all... enjoy it relatively free.
On the distant list of FilmSec films, the things that we might not ever really watch and cover is Grandma's Boy, and that's streaming. Mm. So I guess I could see Pixels streaming.
I would think that, I'm just thinking like, of all the Sandler films that I think would be good for FilmSec, and I'm not suggesting that we watch it, but Click seems like the balance of sci-fi.
That strikes me.
Yeah.
That's when the Fonz was his dad or something.
Something like that.
You know, and I actually like that movie.
You like Click?
Anybody see Click? Yeah? Show of hands or applause?
The remote like where he changed stuff and made, like, history change and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it was mostly about his life, fast-forwarding through the boring parts.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Was it Zooey Deschanel as his wife? Who was his wife in that?
Kate Beckinsale,
yeah. The British Zooey Deschanel.
Pixels strikes me as the kind of movie that we chicken out on, like White Chicks. Remember, we were going to watch White Chicks, and they're like, we chickened out on that. So maybe it has to be for Nerdtacular, because that's the only way we'll stick with it. Maybe.
Yeah, and also, for Nerdtacular, the only real rule, if you're ever making suggestions to us, is that they have a bunch of really cheesy things that happen that I can show up there and get a laugh out of. Yeah. Otherwise, it's hard. Like, if we would do something more straight up, it would be difficult to do.
The Louis Gossett Jr. pizza gag would not have made it onto audio.
It's the best scene in the film.
It is. Yeah.
It's really good. Yes.
Hi, my name's Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I'm sure it's difficult to coordinate, but could you do more live commentary shows?
Yeah.
Even if it's just the episodic ones, the 20-minute ones, because it's a lot of fun to sort of watch the movie or episodes with you guys as your commentators.
We weren't kidding. We were not joking about that Japanese Spider-Man thing being something that we just watch every episode.
Yeah, we're doing them all.
We're going to sit down on a Saturday, and we're going to record a live commentary for every episode. Yeah, it's so good.
We get this all the time, and I feel it all the time. Whenever we do it, we have so much fun doing it. And oftentimes, we do it as fillers for when someone's going to be out of town. Like, oh, shoot, let's get this quick half-hour thing in so we have something to play next week. But what we find is how much... You know, we enjoy it. We like both formats, obviously, but to answer your question, yes, there will be more of those, and soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very soon.
We love them.
I'm glad people are happy.
And those of you who brought movies for us last year, we have them. We are going to get to them. Yeah, we will do them.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Firefox.
And keep in mind,
Firefox.
Part of my hesitation in the past has always been, I don't want everyone to go, you're just ripping off Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever, which no one ever believes me when I tell them this, but I actually hadn't seen an episode until after FilmSack had started. So it was never an intent to sort of match that or even come close to it. Mm-hmm. Our commentaries are more about literally, like they're a, kind of a stream of jokes that are very spaced out and timed and awesome. Those guys are amazing at what they do. We're literally talking the whole freaking time.
Right.
And having jokes and conversations and, you know.
What's so great about Riff Tracks is they have prepared every joke to fit perfectly in with what you're watching.
Yeah.
They've written jokes.
Veronica's been on that wherever she is.
Wouldn't it be great if we wrote a joke for once? But no, I mean, we are just ad-libbing.
Yeah.
When we watch these
and
things.
We have a lot of fun doing that. So, yes, there will be more.
Okay, well, actually, MST3K, I believe, was mostly pre-scripted also. And I like the fact that you guys are just riffing. What I was going to ask about is, you said you never do Casablanca, but there's a lot of Bogart movies. Mm. And I was just trying to, I just thought of the name of it. The Second Mrs. Carroll, he goes mad on screen, and it's great. And so we might want, I don't know if it's streaming or anything like that, or any of the old Raymond Chandler.
I'd love to see, the Sam Spade, I'd love to do Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, like the old Cagney movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've never really exposed myself to that stuff.
You dirty rat.
Look at, all the old guys are like, yeah.
You're calling me an old guy?
Yes, actually, that's exactly what he did.
And for those that know me, I'm Gary Fisher, land guy. I always forget to introduce myself. But any of that, I would love to see some of that, especially since
I'm an old
guy.
We'll do more of that. Yeah. I think it'd be fun to explore some of that and do some of the iconic stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, will we ever watch Seven Samurai?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we could.
All right. Okay.
I would love that.
Especially
and then we'll
with
follow it up. Let's do Magnificent Seven the next week.
All right.
Right? Well, do a little theme.
I didn't think and that then, we could sack Kurosawa, but let's go for it. Why not?
I'm sorry. Anyway, yes.
Hey, guys, I'm Russell, Watchmaker guy. Nobody knows that, though. One thing we've all watched together through FilmSack is movies about time travel. And the real problem is always continuity and how they do it.
And they always get it wrong.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Always.
Yeah. Primer did.
I'm wondering if anyone has seen the movie Time Crimes before.
No.
Okay, I definitely recommend it. I've seen it. I think it's an amazing movie for time travel. Really interesting take. And I would love to see you guys do it.
Write that one down.
Yeah. Time crimes?
And they get it right out in the title. Time crime. Like we're always complaining about crimes against time travel.
It's really interesting. And then, Randy, can I buy you a scotch later?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like asking my lungs if they want to breathe.
And by later, you mean like 11:30 a.m., right?
Whenever you want.
All right.
Whenever you want.
See me after this.
Seriously.
How old is it? Because I'm seeing something in development called Time Crimes, but...
It's are you redoing it?
Italian foreign film. Oh, okay. Oh, D.
Did
would
you
it
say
be called
film?
No, the foreign film.
Foreign film. Like, whoa, hold on. We don't do porn movies on Film Sound.
Hi, I'm here to deliver this DeLorean.
Louis Gossett Jr. beats the DeLorean down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different pizza scene. You're right about that. Who we got? Yes.
Hi, I'm Zach. Hey. I've never actually listened to Film Sack before. This is my first time.
We should start. It's a good time.
Yeah, it sounds all right. Yeah. Just in what people have been talking about here, for like a live event like this, have you ever considered doing a silent movie?
So ooh. Nosferatu was one I had early on said something about. The biggest problem is we don't
that
do...
would be cool.
The clip part of the show is kind of a big part of the show, so there's no audio to that, and even the one that's been remastered or whatever, it has great music soundtrack, but there's no sound in it. But for something like that, I would probably say it'd be worth maybe an attempt.
Yeah, so we could either do that as a live thing here or as a commentary track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about talking over any dialogue either with that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I've never seen it, and I've always wanted to. It's one of my... crimes against movies. I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. There's a few movies like that. I've never seen The Godfather Part 2.
Oh.
I know.
That's
I've never
right.
seen that. I've made up for a lot of these. I mean, I've...
Up until 5 years ago, I hadn't seen Footloose. So everybody has one.
He never saw Magnum P.I., Knight Rider.
A-Team.
A-Team. Yeah. So, ooh, at him for a minute. See?
Everybody's got their something.
I say this again. I want us to do a commentary track for the Nicole Kidman film, The Others, which is almost silent film.
Yeah, I can do that.
It's just got very little dialogue. And the reason is, I want us to all get together and watch this thing, and I want to see how you guys react to that movie as it, you know, it's so quiet and it's so slow, you know, and we got to fill all that space with talking.
And I do. I how about Waterworld, but the sound turned down with Led Zeppelin playing.
We don't have the clearance for that.
Man, I just don't understand what goes on in your house.
I love that movie. It's such an amazing concept. I talked to somebody yesterday, came up, shook my hand, went out of their way to tell me that they're with me on this. Is that person here? Who was that person? Oh, they're afraid to put their hand up. They're just kind of, there she is. That movie's great. Don't let anyone tell you any different. You ever seen Paper? All right.
Hello, I'm Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
I want to know your thoughts on possibly doing a Kevin Smith movie.
Which one would we do? Dogma, probably.
I'd want to do, like, Red State, because it's just different. Because the comedies are all kind of the same.
But he wants to watch it with the sound down and Van Halen playing or something.
What about possibly his new one, like Tusk or something like that?
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, his stuff is so...
I like pushing these guys to their sort of emotional limits on Film Sack, so I would like to watch something like Chasing Amy with them. Because I want to ask the hard questions, you know, like tell us about your lesbian experimentation in college, that kind of thing, you know?
Oh, I could go on for days.
Have you ever gotten stuck in one of those Chinese finger cuff things?
Yeah. I haven't seen that in forever. But I don't think that, I mean, I like a lot of what Kevin Smith does, so I'd be all right with it. I just think it'd need to be one that, like anything with comedy or something resembling that, something that has a bigger thing to say or had an impact in a way that we can riff on and talk about.
Right.
Oh, and Mallrats might actually be the right one.
But after, as you get further along in movies like, say, Clerks 2, it's kind of sacking itself.
Yeah,
you don't really, you're not going to get anything from us.
Yeah,
you
know? That is Film Sack, basically. Yeah. Film Sack the movie.
It was him sacking Clerks 1.
Randall. Yes.
Hi, I'm Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
When I first got into Film Sack and in your first few episodes, you were really in the like 70s and 80s sort of sword and sorcery and like schlocky movies, Red Sonja and Dragon Slayer and that sort of stuff.
Our very first episode was Krull. So,
Krull, perfect example. Yeah. And you've kind of moved away from that. I wonder if you're ever going to come back to it, like do Death Stalker.
Oh, I think we're always into that. It's just a matter of what's there, right?
There was a lot of stuff that was, because that's all stuff that we grew up with and was very nostalgic to us, and so it was probably the low-hanging fruit that we all grabbed immediately, wanting to see that stuff again. And I think whenever stuff like that does come up again, we want to do it. And Ashley pointed out, you know, Conan the Destroyer, Conan the Barbarian, but Conan the Destroyer would be great, too.
Yeah, the Destroyer is definitely better for
stuff like that, I think, when it comes up on streaming, and maybe sometimes we need to be reminded that stuff is now available on streaming, and that's where you guys come in with your great emails and your tweets saying, hey, this is now...
Yeah, one of the worst things that's happened to this podcast is when Netflix shut down the API that so many websites were using to alert us that things were coming, expiring.
That was a good thing when we had that.
Yeah.
Because we'd know, if we had something planned that weekend, we'd know pretty well in advance, better not do it, it's being pulled. And then there were a couple times that Scott's recorded his lines, we're all ready to go, 4 hours earlier, they cut it. And one time I think we went ahead.
Yeah.
And in like today's case, we did something because we felt like we had to, and Punisher's not even streaming. So, you know, it's not like it always has to be streaming, but...
Is there one that you'd absolutely like us to see or do that we haven't done yet?
Well, those movies are actually a little older than what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. But my friends and I, for instance, we got into like Deathstalker and there was a, I can't remember them now, but like those sort of just...
We keep trying to see the Connery Dragon movie.
Dragonheart.
We will watch Dragonheart.
Yeah. I will make you watch Dragonheart.
I will watch it again with love. Right. I'm a dragon
of
that movie.
There's just a well of those.
You ever lose your car keys? Sorry,
of
go
those
ahead.
Movies with illustrations on the front of a guy with a sword and wearing nothing, right? And it looks nothing like the movie. Mm-hmm. And those just seem like FilmSack is... prime to
we love that stuff. For sure, also, I think we follow a trend that even Hollywood follows, and I don't mean this in some kind of highfalutin way, but the nerd culture and the kinds of genres we're into kind of ebb and flow. I think we are on a really high wave of fantasy for a very long time there, and I feel like we are now taking another dip down into science fiction again in a big way. In a weird way, we're kind of doing that too.
Yeah, right.
But that's also where my interests are right now. I'm into video games that are in space. I want to play Star Citizen way bad. I want to.
I'm just glad we're taking a break from martial arts.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on.
No more ninjas.
No, just ninjas. But
we
do the same before thing. Ninjas.
We ebb and flow, and we always get back to it. So, no chance. Yes.
Hi, I am Frank, and I think FilmSack could always use more Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we agree.
Yes. And National Treasure is now streaming on Netflix?
And it's on our upcoming schedule.
Okay, good. Yes. Because the plot is just dumb.
Yeah.
I have to steal the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Hey, is Ed Harris in that first one, or is it the second one Harris is in?
I don't believe it's the first
one. So if you see the second one, just a little note for fun. Apparently, somebody worked on that production in the special effects department. There is a scene where Ed Harris is holding a newspaper talking to Nicolas Cage, and at the bottom... there is a reference to my webcomic and a description with my name and my Twitter account on there that he snuck in just to be on this newspaper. So if you're ever watching the second one, forget about the plot, forget about Ed Harris, forget about everything. Just watch for this newspaper pan. It's it was one of my highlights of my life, and I hate that movie. It's a terrible film. but I'm glad to have something in there.
I disagree. I like them.
Yeah, but you like that. You like all those, don't you?
I thought it was a great ride. I thought it did exactly what it was supposed to.
We will definitely get to that one then.
Con Air was awesome. Face Off was awesome.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, have you guys considered doing Blind Fury? It's Rutger Hauer playing Zatoichi.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
This is the new one, right? The thing that just... No, am I thinking of the...
This came out in 89.
What's the new straight to you?
Hobo, shotgun with a hobo, or hobo with a shotgun.
No, we're talking about different. He's thinking
Kung
of...
Kung Fury is what I'm thinking of.
Oh,
okay. Yes. Let's talk about Blind Fury.
I would watch that,
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I've seen it either, so... Right. I have memories of it, but...
It seemed like the only Zatoichi movie that was really sackable, because you couldn't really do the audio clips for the other ones.
Yes, we could.
You could? Okay.
Yeah, we could.
We'll figure out a way. There's lots of screams and yells and stuff that are great. I always look for those.
We've got to make Ibbot watch more martial arts.
All right, fine.
I think we have time for...
Thank you.
We'll do two more.
Two more?
Yeah. By the way, can I just say real quick while he's running over there how awesome all the kids are that people brought this year? Such awesome little kids this year. Mm-hmm. Just smart, little smart guys. Like somebody in the comics panel asked, remember that? The best question ever.
Good, yeah.
People cheered for him.
What comic would you most like to own?
Yeah, I'm just so impressed. The generation behind us is doing just fine.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hi, Alex.
I'm wondering if you guys would ever consider doing like a Japanese anime movie. Because some of those old ones are so
Scott,
fantastic.
Why don't you take this one?
I would actually. I don't know what one, and that's the thing we'd have to work on is do we go subtitled, do we go dubbed over? I think we go dubbed over because that's great dialogue.
And we've
Right. See, look so at all this. This is great.
Yeah, and this has come up 3 times on FilmSack, and every single time we've committed that we will sit and watch Paprika together. Mm-hmm. And then Scott has just kind of
I like Paprika. I like that one.
He's just dusted has a cool song or something.
I like that one. No, here's the thing. I'm not a giant anime fan, but if you can promise me you can recommend one that has a perverted little old man in it, it can also have a weird animal that doesn't exist, and can everyone's eyes be too big?
And a little kid that goes,
yeah, a lot of people going, huh? Like that.
So as soon as it's streaming, we're doing a live commentary track on Ranma, is what I'm saying. That's what we're going to, because I am going to giggle my ass off at Scott's reactions to that show.
Can I have robots and they all join up and make a bigger robot and things like that?
Does it have a sword that's also a gun?
Because I'm into that.
By the way, our if you go to mostsacked.com, and if you haven't checked this site out, it's fantastic. I don't know if the person who puts that together is here, but...
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It's flickering right now. I don't know why, but...
Your iPad sucks.
Thanks, yes. It's a Wi-Fi. But it's a compendium of all of the movies we've done, the actors that have appeared in the most of them, and the you know, all that sort of stuff. But there's also a section where you can vote for movies you'd like us to sack. And right now, the top four apparently are The Stuff from 1985, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome...
Who runs Bottertown?
Dread from 2012.
No, Master Blaster runs Bottertown.
Into the microphone.
And Innerspace, all of which I think would be great.
That's a good reaction for Innerspace.
I've never heard of The Stuff, so that would be a fun one.
Looks like...
Repo Man, Soylent Green, Phantasm. Didn't we do Phantasm?
We haven't done Phantasm.
No, feels like we've done Phantasm. Oh, Black Hole would be a good one. Disney. Yep.
Oh, man.
Conan the Destroyer. Yeah. You got to get some Grace Jones and Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. Yeah. Tank Girl's still on there.
Tank Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, Trish, we wish she was here.
All right, we got one more. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Cameron, also known as Tetsemi.
Hi, Tet.
How you doing?
Could you stand up, Tet?
Brian.
Could you please aggro the boss? I can't get.
Brian, get off the floor.
Yeah. He's our—he's kind of our raid leader.
For those, by the way, that joke has come up a few times. For those who don't know, when we raid, I spend most of the time face down on the floor of the fight.
Tanks the floor.
I am actually a dedicated healer to you now. You know.
That's right. Yeah, since we brought Randy in,
our healers, which are we call ourselves Heal Team Six. We have Heal Team Six.
Yep.
Represent.
Awesome. Yeah, well, so anyway, I am dedicated to keeping you alive.
Thank you,
and
Randy.
I fail all the time.
I bet I can hit the boss better right in front of him.
All right, sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, or Brian will shadow step and he'll end up in the blue space underneath the world. Okay, just three suggestions. African Queen, because you get Bogart and Hepburn.
Wow. Good one.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Okay. I like the song.
Yeah. And
I think I remember the film. And as I recall, we both kind of liked it.
We both kind of liked it.
Yeah, well, it's one thing we got.
Yeah, it's one thing.
Oh, that's right.
Dude. And you said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, it was great. And my girls, this is a little nostalgic moment when my girls were little. They'd sit in the back of my car and sing that at the top of their lungs when it played. And it was one of my favorite things. We'd crank it up on the radio, and the girls would just sing at the top of their lungs. They were little teeny girls. It was great. Anyway.
So African Queen, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And would you ever film sack A Clockwork Orange?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we would. Totally.
Man. Yes. Even though that thing scarred me pretty bad when I saw it.
I have never vetoed a movie. Scott, like we like to have Scott veto all the movies that get vetoed, so that's always his fault.
We lean on Scott to veto.
I just have other production concerns, and that sometimes plays a role, but
man, I don't want to watch A Clockwork Orange.
Do you want to watch that one?
Yeah.
With the toothpicks in the eyes and all that?
You don't like it? Or
yeah. Actually, my memory is that there are toothpicks in the eyes, but not really, right?
Not
it's
really
actually like metal.
It's a little metal. Yeah, a little.
It's like when
that doesn't make it better.
Kevin Costner pees on a tree and drinks it in Waterworld.
I just gave myself the con flu right there. Yeah. Just did
Good
it.
Job.
Thanks.
Remember that don't touch your face thing?
Yeah, I just actually opened my eyes wide enough for viruses to shoot directly into my brain.
Amazing questions. Yes, go ahead.
By the way, I love that the signs on the pools at this place, and I've never seen this before, they tell you why you're supposed to shower before getting in the pool and specifically reference you're getting rid of the fecal material that's on you.
It says that?
Yeah.
And at the bottom, it's got a picture of a greased up Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Well, it also says you can't take any fecal material past this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's catered.
Unless it's catered. Yeah, yeah. Yep. You guys are making the best transition points I've ever had. Yep. I can't say enough about how much we enjoy doing this show. It's still, as far as numbers go on the network, it's still the number two single show, weekly show that gets the most numbers just behind The Instance and continues to grow. And we're so grateful people love the show so much, and we'll always do it regardless. It is if it's ever truly a lost leader, we don't even care. We just love it that much. So I'm glad that you guys enjoy it.
It's costing us.
Yeah,
so
it costs
much.
Us a bunch of money.
My Netflix subscription.
Yeah, that Netflix subscription adds up. But we're so thankful that so many people have given us so much of their time and have enjoyed it so much. Thank you all for being here for this live edition. It's one of the things we love about Nerdtacular. Most of all, huge thanks to my co-hosts, Brian Dunaway, who's not here, Scott Fletcher, who just adds so much flavor to everything we do, not just the show, but so many. Big hand for everybody, please. Thank you. For those who are at home or are getting this via the podcast, don't forget the website is filmsack.com. You can leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. For me, for Brian, for Randy, for Scott, and for Brian Dunaway, we'll see you next time.
Frank!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.